Welcome to the Hoosier Ag Today podcast for Monday, the 20th of October, 2025. I'm Andy Eubank, and the podcast is brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. They're online at ffbt.com. Eric Pfeiffer and Greg Allen have news today, including an Ag Expo designed to show how a farmer impacted by disability can continue farming. And what does storage capacity nationally look like as farmers bring in that huge 2025 crop? Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin says minimal rain chances and even cooler air after today. And grains and oil seeds led higher by soybeans Friday. Brian Basting market analysis coming up on the Hat Monday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, equal opportunity lender, member FDIC.
Breaking down barriers for ag careers and grain storage, an issue. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, reporting on the latest news in agriculture on Hoosier Ag Today. The news is brought to you by Beacon Credit Union.
Wishing all our farmers a safe and successful harvest. I'm Gus Lukens, your ag lender at Beacon Credit Union. Ag people serving ag people.
An innovative expo aimed at breaking down barriers in agricultural careers was held last week at Huntington University. Greg Allen has the story.
AgriBility, in partnership with Easter Seals Crossroads, hosted the Agricultural Assistive Technology Expo, a hands-on training session designed to showcase how assistive technology can empower individuals with disabilities to succeed in farming. Indiana AgriBility Project Manager Chuck Baldwin talks about the goals of the expo.
The primary goal of this AT Expo is to expose occupational therapy students, some farmers, some vocational rehabilitation personnel, and others to what it takes to help a farmer impacted by disability to be able to continue farming, to do it successfully, to do it safely, to improve their quality of life.
From modified tools to adaptive machinery, the expo offered demonstrations and real-world applications of assistive tech in the field. Lisa Becker with Easter Seals Crossroads says the best part about the expo is allowing participants the opportunity to identify barriers in the everyday tasks of most farmers.
We get a group of people that have never really even been on a farm, may not have been to a 4-H program before, and this is the first time they're around animals or any of the farm machinery. And so all of these students or OT professionals that are here today, we want to take them through the process of what does it take to be a farmer, whether it's a grain farmer or a livestock farmer or one of the niche farming areas, and then understand what their daily tasks might be, how those change throughout the year, and then also understand what might happen in different scenarios if someone has a disability.
According to the U.S. Department of Agriculture, farming ranks among the top industries for work-related injuries. In fact, more than 200,000 farmers, ranchers, and agricultural workers sustain injuries each year that impact their ability to work. Events like this aim to change that narrative by improving access, promoting independence, and helping more people thrive in agriculture, regardless of physical ability. For more information about assistive technology in farming, visit agribility.org.
You would think that harvesting a massive crop would be good news for U.S. farmers. But
demand is lower due to the ongoing trade challenges. And what this really means is that we've got a big crop and we need to find a place to put it.
Farm Bureau economist Barrett Nelson breaks down the numbers.
Corn production for the 25-26 marketing year is estimated at a record 16.8 billion bushels. Now, if we kind of switch gears and look over at soybean production, it's also projected higher at 4.3 billion bushels.
And Nelson says the problem is that the national storage capacity for grain crops hasn't increased at the same rate as production.
Grain storage capacity has gone up only a little bit at the same time. So if we look at combined on and off farm storage capacity as of December 1st, 2024, this totals about 25.5 billion bushels. Our big Corn Belt states have added very little new storage space in recent years.
Insufficient storage space can also impact grain prices.
The increase in crop size with limited increase in demand or storage space could continue putting some pressure on our crop prices. It also could have a big impact on basis. A weakening basis would really add a significant price risk to the farm sector in the bottom line.
You can learn more about this on the Market Intel page at fb.org. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Harvest means early mornings, late nights, and long days in the field. While you're out there each day until the last pass is made and the job is done, know that your friends at Farm Credit Mid-America see your hard work and appreciate all of your long hours. We know that harvest is a busy season for you, but when you need a lender that can rise with you, give us a call at 800-444-FARM. This fall, we rise together. Subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
Pushing for yield? Of course you are. But what's left behind the combine? A golden opportunity, that's what. Take advantage of the bound-up nutrition in your residue with Reclaim from Direct Enterprises. Reclaim makes valuable nutrition available to your next crop, enhances soil health, and reduces reliance on tillage. Plan ahead, get ahead with Reclaim. Learn more about Reclaim and find your local dealer online at directenterprises.com. That's directenterprises.com.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. As we take a look at the state here today, still seeing some decent southwest flow coming up across the Hoosier state. That's going to keep our temperatures a little bit elevated. I'm expecting us to be above normal through today, but we have a secondary area of precipitation. After what came through over the weekend, the secondary area going to be moving through the Great Lakes region. I'm not sure we see a lot of precipitation for Tuesday or even overnight tonight into tomorrow, Tuesday, but I do think we have to allow for clouds and spits and sprinkles, and what this system really is going to do is usher in significantly cooler air. That's going to be coming overnight Tuesday night, tomorrow night, into Wednesday, and the cool air, the chill stays here through Wednesday, through Thursday, and into Friday. What we are seeing here with the change in air mass is this cool air mass cannot hold nearly as much moisture as warm air. And so I think clouds are going to be something that we deal with over a large part of the state through each of those days. And I won't rule out spits and sprinkles in northern tier counties. The best area of precipitation will be across Michigan and the Great Lakes in general. But northern Indiana can't have it ruled out. Central and southern Indiana, I think just clouds off and on with the cooler temperatures. All right, that bumps us forward late in the week on Friday. We do start to see warmer air come north Friday afternoon, and that warmer air will bring a small chance of precipitation for Saturday. Hit and miss, a scattered showers, a few hundreds to a few tenths, that is all, but we can't say it's completely dry. And then we go into the following week, the week of the 27th, watching another strong low and frontal boundary try and kick out of the Great Plains and head towards us. I'm looking for showers and thunderstorms next Monday afternoon, evening, and overnight, right on through Tuesday, followed by a very strong surge of cold air coming across the Great Lakes again through the Halloween time frame and even into early parts of November. So the period of time with warm, dry days back to back to back, that is gone, and we're going into a much more typical fall-like pattern. Hit and miss moisture around, but definitely cold or air dominating the next 10 days to 2 weeks. That's a look at your forecast update. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Hey, farmers need equipment? Check out Purple Wave Auction every other Wednesday. They're running ag auctions where everything sells, no reserve, no games. What I love is how they let you talk directly with sellers. Got questions about that tractor? Just ask. That's the kind of hometown service you want. But here's the kicker. Your equipment gets seen by buyers across the entire country. Whether you're buying or selling, jump into Purple Wave's auction rhythm at purplewave.com. Purple Wave Auction. Sold means sold.
This harvest, it's more than crops. It's your legacy. Beacon Credit Union offers ag loans for equipment, land, and operating costs. Competitive rates, flexible terms, and local experts who know farming. Beacon Credit Union. Local. Trusted. Rooted in agriculture. We're ag people. Serving ag people. Visit beaconcu.org. Insured by ASI, not federally insured EHO lender.
Soybeans lead the way and slightly higher in corn and wheat. This is Hoosier Ag Today in the Friday Farm Market Review. I'm Andy Eubank. The review is brought to you by the Purdue Farm Stress Team. Preventative maintenance isn't just for equipment. As you move on through harvest this fall, make sure you take some time to check your mental health and stress level. We'll have the final numbers from Higher Friday Trade. First, market analysis. I grabbed that in the middle of the session from Brian Basting of Advanced Trading. Going into the weekend, some gains in corn and beans. That is a very tenuous move at mid-session in the corn market on a Friday. But nickel gains in soybeans. So as we end the week, Brian, let's talk about soybean futures. That one is apparently a stronger market of the two.
We did see soybean futures go down this week one more time and retest $10 in November contract, and it held for the moment. Now we're moving forward, I think, into the last, I would say the last 25 to 30% of harvest, Andy, and what beans have been sold for cash flow, wherever those reasons have been made, those sales have been made, and now I think the remainder of the beans are going into storage, and so I think the market has found some stability here. Now I think we're still looking at a very tenuous situation regarding the export market. We have to acknowledge that China has yet to buy any U.S. beans for 25, 26, and prospects don't look very bright for the near term here. That could change. We certainly hope it will, but for the near term, it doesn't look very, very promising. So that's keeping a lid on things. So what we're left with, Andy, is kind of a trading range between about 10.35 and $10. And it's been in that way for several weeks, showing some stability again, holding for the moment above $10, but without the strength to go higher either. Because we don't know what the final yield is going to be. We obviously don't have USDA data. So I think it's more of a choppy pattern here as we get in the last half of October and begin to wrap up harvest.
Can you call the corn market choppy? It's not moving much at all.
Corn finally showing some signs of life this week, Andy. I think the corn seems to be a general pattern. I don't want to overgeneralize, but the cash flow needs that producers have needed this fall seem to be being met by a few more bean sales than they are for corn. So the corn is finding its way into storage. The fundamentals I think producers have picked up are a bit stronger from the standpoint of export-wise for corn. So they've elected to store the corn. And as a result, the market is starting to firm up here just a little bit. It went down to about $4.10 a bushel earlier this week, tail end of last week, and has bounced up to about 420 to 425 here. We're trying to get our arms around this final yield compared to what it was there in September from the USDA. Whether we'll get a November report is really up in the air with the government shutdown, of course. But export trends continue to be strong in terms of liftings. We could at least get one report from the USDA, and that's the weekly export report, how much we actually shipped, and that continues to be strong for the first 6 weeks of the crop year. So I wouldn't read too much into it other than to say that it's showing some signs of life, holding above $4.10 basis of the December contract. And moving forward, we'll keep a close eye on these final yields, as well as any additional export business that we can glean from just the actual market. Obviously, we're not getting any reports from USDA.
Do you have your own sense, based on reports that you hear about and see, on yields and how that might impact the markets here in the shorter term?
Yeah, it's variable is the term I would use, Andy. For your listeners know even that some areas are seeing yields surpass last year. Some areas are not seeing yields as good as last year. I would say that as we look east to west, the better yields are in the west, and the yields that are maybe falling a bit short of what they were last year are in the east. And I include Ohio, Indiana in that conversation. So if we're looking at the big picture, there seems to be a little bit of undercurrent that maybe we'll see a lower number compared to what the September yield was from the USDA. In September, the USDA pegged corn yield at 186.7. There seems to be an undercurrent that could nudge down when we finally get the next report, whether that's in November or January. But the market may be sensing that a little bit now and just seeing a little bit of end user coverage down here at 410 for the December contract. And so I guess I'll just throw that out for what it's worth category, not a prediction or anything, because I don't want to say that this is a bad crop, because out west, Andy, there's some stellar corn yields. But I think overall, as you go in the aggregate, I don't think that it maybe quite matches up to the USDA numbers back in September.
Market commentary from Brian Basting at Advanced Trading. Brian's number is 309-664-2314. Now more numbers. The Friday settlements up just a little in the grains, corn and wheat. December corn up 3/4, 422.5. March contract ends up a penny at 436.5. May 445, up a penny and a quarter. Beans led the way all session long. November 10.19.5, up 8.75. January up 8.25 at 10.36.75. December wheat up a penny and a quarter at 5.03.75. The cattle market took it on the chin, 240.25 for October live cattle, and December 241.82, down $6 and a nickel. December lean hogs 82.37, down 22. I'm Andy Eubank with the Friday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's leading farm network.